Hey guys, this is Joel from the Hijinks Ensue podcast. I just want to give you a quick note to say check out vault.hijinksensue.com. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you know that we post the uncut version of the show, which is typically about 30, 45 minutes longer, and the post show, which is anywhere from another 15 to 60 minutes of extra podcast, up on the vault, vault.hijinksensue.com. That's for donation subscribers. So if you want to subscribe for as little as $5 a month, rolling donation, you get hours and hours of extra podcast material in addition to a lot of behind the scenes stuff and goodies that I post for the Hijinks Ensue comics. So please check that out. You can go to podcast.hijinksensue.com and click on the donations button if you want to get signed up. You can also do that on the vault. Last time we talked about Alex and Roger were with us, and we talked about Alex's encounters with the ladies of sci-fi, Nichelle Nichols, Starbuck, and number six from Battlestar, and getting in trouble with Starbucks people. So it was a very good talk, and you may enjoy it. There was also a lot of good behind-the-scenes stuff between the segments and a lot of me talking about things that I normally don't discuss on the podcast. So if you enjoy that kind of thing, if it sounds like a entertainment value for you, or if you just want to help support the podcast and give me a reason to keep doing it, because dear God, I need one, please check out vault.hijinksensue.com. Sign up for a rolling monthly subscription, and support this free entertainment that you're enjoying, and or not, and then don't. And that's all.
This is not the future we were promised. This is not the future we were counting on. This is not the world every boy and every girl envisioned. From the time we learned.
Podcast. Whoa, that audience settled down quick.
Hey, yeah, well, you know, we got that.
Take it easy, guys.
Anti-applause.
Guys, let's have it one more, one more. Oh, episode 70. God, again, they just dropped right off.
Wow. They're obedient.
Episode 79, Hijinks Ensue Podcast. I am once again joined by Alex Flores, Brown Dynamite.
Oh, yeah.
And the Honorable Roger Court.
All rise, Bud Court is now in session.
Please be seated.
Hey, hey, hey.
So glad you guys came back. I'm so glad those other chumps still aren't here.
Cocksuckers. What other chumps?
It's not like it's a holiday or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Is it?
Well, some may consider one of those
what
chumps.
What is it, like the 15th or 16th? It's not a holiday of any kind.
Nah, it's the day after Valentine's Day.
Also, so it just rolls? It just rolls for days and days?
Also known as Josh's birthday.
The Jewish Valentine's Day is 7 days long.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know that.
you get one chocolate.
You get to open it.
7 days.
And then...
Josh, it is Josh's birthday. As we know, I think from previous podcasts he's mentioned, he is 29, so he's got a year left before...
Otherwise known as Carousel.
Carousel. Yeah, so it is Josh's birthday. Gay Carousel is approaching. He's got a year of living dangerously left, and we know that he will. We know he'll take advantage of it.
That's what he's doing right now. That's why he can't be here tonight.
We need to get a copy of his gay bucket list.
Yeah.
It involves a bucket.
Yeah,
a lot of the items involve a bucket. I just might give him a call on this episode.
I think you should.
I might do that. We might just see exactly how balls deep he is right now. On his birthday. Josh rarely celebrates his birthday in a traditional fashion. Again, because I think he knows he doesn't have that many left. So
that's true. Well,
it'd be kind of fucked up if he like died tomorrow and I'm sitting here being like, I'm about to fucking die. Again, only kind of. It would only be kind of sad or kind of fucked up. But what is he? He's gonna be like 29. So 29. Unfortunately couldn't be here. He's doing whatever it is he does. Eli had like super pig flu or something for 2 weeks.
Even if you actually grow a cloaca when you do that.
Even if he was better, I wouldn't let him in my house right now. According to Josh's benefactor, Husband, sugar benefactor, who is a medical professional. There is a super strain of death flu going around.
Is there really?
That isn't what they gave flu shots for.
Oh, that's
it never
great.
Is.
How to, and that's what
yeah.
Elevorio has.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
No, he doesn't. Does Absolutely. He really?
Yeah, that's what he got. Well, I mean, probably.
He asked for it. He asked.
Super flu.
Well, never
the,
find
he
out.
Asked the Josh's sugar...
Sugar bear. Wait, that's a cereal. Hang on.
Honey Smacks.
His Honey Smack, yes.
His Dig'em.
Again, those are all acceptable terms in the gay community.
Right. Lucky Charms.
Captain Crunch.
His Cookie Crisp.
Yeah, his Cookie Crisp. His Captain Crunch. His... Well, you say that at a certain point at the designated time. And there was that dog, the Cookie Crisp dog. I can't remember his name, but he's
the
one of you plays
thieving dog.
But one of you plays the Cookie Crook in a scenario.
And then
it's a little
the other one is the Keystone Cop, and you've got the baton.
Yeah. It's a role play thing. Isn't Keystone beer or alcohol of some kind? Is one of them Captain Morgan? There's pirate suits involved. I know there's pirate suits.
Now you're thinking of Captain Crunch.
He doesn't wear the same like a thigh high bitch boots that Captain Morgan wears, though. He should. I've been eating my daughter's Kix cereal recently because it turns out it's delicious.
You've been eating them out of thigh high bitch boots.
Yeah, full of skim milk because I got to watch my figure. But it's delicious cereal. Anyway,
so that's what Josh is doing.
So Josh's
right
birthday.
Yeah.
As is tradition with our people.
Well, again, we may give him a call. We may not. I don't know if I care. I almost don't want to know what picks up the other end of that phone.
Or where the phone might be.
On this day of celebration.
Call.
Sure. Absolutely. No, I was saying he doesn't celebrate that. We typically never do anything for his birthday, so I don't know. Or I should say, whatever is being done, I'm not invited to. I at least know
that's
that much.
Right. That was that whole big... shindig where basically Eli and a bunch of other dudes got like pedicures for Josh's birthday.
Oh, I was there.
Oh, you were there too?
Yeah, that was the only one though. No, but he came out like 2 weeks before that.
Right.
So that was really playing it up. That was his gay celebration.
Party. Sure.
Okay. It was. It was absolutely
Cool. Oh.
That was weird.
That was a long time ago.
One of the guys there had a sort of a foot phobia. Don't say if you know names.
No, I don't know. I was going to say a fungus.
Anyway, no, sort of a foot phobia. And no one knew that, and so bringing him into the fold of basically a palace to feet, a sort of pagan temple worshiping all things feet, and everyone's feet are exposed and
gnarly
and
I'm
being
sure.
handled yeah. And massaged and buffed and painted. He almost threw up. It was.
Well, I can understand that. Hmm. I mean,
there's weirder problems to have. I knew a girl that was afraid of milk.
Afraid of milk.
Yeah, not didn't like the taste of it. Afraid of it.
Hmm.
Afraid that
traumatic
it would
experience.
Burn. According to her, it was just normal that she was that way.
Sure, all people have that.
Do you think it will burn you? And she would never answer. She couldn't talk about it.
Wow.
Like,
because it can hear you.
Maybe.
Oh wow.
Well, it comes from living beings. It might be partially sentient. No one knows. Mm. Science is still the jury's out on that one. Roger Court.
All rise. Bud Court is now in session.
Might rule on that later.
Yeah, quite ready to rule yet.
Retire to your chambers.
In general, I'm ready to rule, but that's, you know.
That sounds like if you were like a 90s rapper, exactly. You'd be like, I'm ready to rule.
Me and Marky Mark are going to co-rule.
Feel it. There was Mike Doty from Soul Coughing on Twitter today said he thinks more rappers should go back to sing. They're going to cold do something. Like, I'm about to cold buy a sweater. I'm about to cold go to the store. Where were we? So we're talking about Josh's birthday. I wish him the best. I know he won't hear this because he doesn't care about anything I do. So, you were telling me, one of you guys, hang on, before we do that, did I introduce you? I didn't. Alex Flores.
Hey.
I did play your sound. You only get one this time.
Oh, yeah.
Our director for the Dallas something or other. You do a thing here. What do you call it?
The Dallas Observatory.
Observer. Okay. Observatory. Dallas Observatory. DallasObserver.com. It is, would you say the focus of the Dallas Observer began primarily as music, and now it's all entertainment.
Originally, 30.
And some politics.
Yeah, 31
years ago.
Founded
on the principle of observation.
just looking at things in general and then just writing them down.
Seeing the world for what it truly
is. The original articles were things like...
there's a truck.
From my desk, Post-its.
Look at the tree.
Stapler. 3 pins. One of them's a little chewed.
The end.
This is going to print! another piece of gold. Journalism is here forever.
Yeah, it's city, you know, city government, alternative views.
Now the part about city government, that part sounds boring.
Not in the way we write about.
Okay,
it.
good. Yeah. Because otherwise,
there's a lot of snark.
I would think town council type shit.
Establishment flat out.
It
can.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure.
It should never be discussed because it seems awful.
Fortunately, Dallas government has a lot of characters.
And, we do have. We often have like someone ejected for like drugs or crime. Often,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like that's like a thing we do.
Bribery. Mm-hmm. And
okay,
what
good,
have you,
good,
yeah.
good. Wasn't there a thing about cabbies a while back?
That happened with the Super Bowl. Apparently, the mayor, current mayor, is he's on his way.
He's
out.
He's a cab driver.
Yeah,
at night because the mayor doesn't get paid,
and sure. He fights.
Just helping the community.
Yeah,
bums in the streets.
He's a superhero. His name
Phoenix
is
Jones.
Phoenix Mayor. Which is weird because his real name is Phoenix Jones, and so right. And he's the mayor.
That's his alias. Yeah.
So going by Phoenix Mayor, everyone knows who he is.
Yeah, it's seamless.
And then he says, "Stop, criminal! I'm Mayor Phoenix Mayor." And he has a gavel. That's his. Again,
you know all about that.
Sure.
Yeah,
fellow gavel enthusiast.
Yeah, I mean, you have to carry
anyways,
a license.
This crime-fighting cab-driving mayor. What happened? He was playing in the Super Bowl.
He was quarter all-time quarterback in the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he's trying to get money from the windmill man.
What is that?
That's the rich man who runs the windmills.
I understand. You know, no words that you're saying.
No?
None of them.
You know what I'm talking about.
No. Jerry?
T-Boone Pickens.
Oh.
I'm just trying to play along with the whole thing. T-Boone Pickens.
No, I do. What's going on? Hang on. Let's reset. let's go further back in this reference, and then we'll pick a different path.
Okay,
so this mayor is in the Super Bowl.
All-time quarterback.
Okay.
He wants to get some big fat money
okay.
from T. Boone Pickens.
Who's
T. Boone Pickens is a big millionaire, Texas millionaire.
Because that sounds made up.
No, he's not.
He's the consummate old Texas guy.
Yeah, he sounds like the guy from The Simpsons that makes the bad investments.
That's
probably based on
loosely
him,
based
yeah.
on without the and the
less.
Hat.
Oh, okay.
But he's got a lot of money, and he's into windmills. He's into clean energy, and that's his whole bit. He made a lot of money in oil, and now he's like, no. That's
so
not the way to go.
All of that was real. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it was absolutely.
I'm not following, but I'm listening.
In a major U.S. Senate race, you need a lot of capital to, you know, campaign. He wants to get into T. Boone Pickens' favor. So he said, 1923...
Go ahead.
And he said that was code. The code tonight is 1923.
T. Boone Pickens.
Yeah, so our mayor wants to get some cash so he can run for Senate. And so he did some deal with Love Field, the
smaller airport.
The Southwest Airlines mm-hmm, hub.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Basically saying, if you are a cab driver and you don't have a CNG, clean fuel cab, you're out of here. We're only going to, give preferential, treatment to those who are clean and green.
Huh.
And so all these other independent cabbies, you know, mostly immigrants, mostly from, strangely enough, at the time, Egyptian.
Sure.
Anymore because they've all gone back.
Yeah.
I believe that
they were called home.
That is common knowledge. They were recalled.
Yep.
So all Egyptians have gone back to Egyptia.
So yeah, they were, they barricaded. You know, the passenger arrival and drop-off areas with their cabs.
Oh, wow.
So they had to bring in the cops, and they arrested most of them, and they towed away all these cabs. And they just
so that's what started all that shit in Egypt.
Pretty much.
It makes sense.
I mean,
yeah. I'm glad.
All
they,
the pieces
they,
are
they,
falling,
they
falling
spearheaded.
Uprisal in Egypt caused by Dallas cabbie strike. Some guy named T. Boone Pickens is a real person. News at 11. And then as they're going to break, the two newscasters going, the name just sounds made up. I know, it sounds made up, doesn't
it's
it?
Crazy.
It's
crazy.
It's a real guy, though. Anyways,
you go I appreciate how you read off of that as if you actually had a bulletin.
Picked up a piece of paper.
This just in.
For those of you not in this room, which is everyone, I picked up a piece of paper. I might have even done the sort of stack it thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I shuffled them. Go ahead.
He put on his Walter Cronkite glasses.
Okay, so this is the type of thing that's going to be exposed in your Dallas Observer type alternative magazine.
It's the things
paper.
We report on, absolutely.
And then also the like Muse or something.
Sure.
Or whoever.
Yeah.
Whatever the kids listen to.
Yes.
And then like maybe art goings on.
Mm. Yeah. We'll
sure.
We'll do all that. Yeah.
You know, one time a local Dallas company contacted me, some fireman something, about designing.
Fireman.
I don't
the
remember.
Fireman company.
I don't
Dallas.
Fucking
Very
remember.
Famous.
Honestly, I don't remember. About designing a mural that was going to be etched into the side of a granite building. Basically, if you Google like Dallas Illustrator, I'm like number one. So whatever. It was much easier to optimize for that than
sure.
the rest of the world, apparently. I'm like, and what do you want? Because that sounds really complex. And they didn't know, nor did they know how things get etched into granite. So I had
so
several.
They didn't know what you could do.
Basically, yeah. I had several conversations with them that went absolutely nowhere. But it was just sort of a peek into city government. And I got to say, like Parks and Rec has it pretty spot on.
It nailed.
It's pretty spot on. It's a bunch of fucking idiots that have no idea what their job is. And the end. Except for the one ambitious lady. I don't think they have that.
No.
I think that might have actually been a title of a column recently.
That you just a bunch said. Of fucking idiots yeah, with no actually, idea what they're doing.
I recall setting that type.
And of course, most of you are not in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So you can go to DallasObserver.com and read about Dallas. Because you would, I don't think you'd want to, but maybe you would.
There's a lot of weird, crazy slideshows and fun little weird things on the blogs. Check it out.
You lots can, of your pictures. There's all your pictures from that sci-fi con.
Yeah, actually, recently. They're on there. I've not they're put them up on my Flickr yet. As I'm
if,
giving,
if you do want, if you do want to see a picture slideshow of all of the people that bought my book 3 years ago and then just come back to every one of the sci-fi cons in Dallas every year in the same costumes, go look at that slideshow. There's one guy in particular. I've got you. I've got your number, old Kirk. Yeah, just come to every show and walk around.
Yeah, I gave him a high five a few weeks ago. I saw him.
Though I do smile every time I see the guy that looks just like Adama, dressed like Adama.
He was there
love
in
that
all
guy.
His glory.
Love him.
You know, man has damn gift. It, he looks better than the actual Adama, I gotta say.
Well, in that he doesn't have that Crypt Keeper situation going on with his face, but he... uncannily like Edward James Olmos, it is kind of frightening. He's maybe a good like 6 inches shorter than Adama, but
and, yeah, in height and probably around the waist too.
Yes, maybe yeah. so, maybe so. But
no fault on
love.
You know,
look, love
Olmos.
Looking at that guy.
Yeah,
no idea what his name is, but I absolutely love
Fred Olmos.
Fred. His name is Fred. It's Frank. It's like Frank Stallone. It's Frank Olmos. It's his younger brother. He was. He played the brother in. In that La Bamba movie, I think. Pretty sure that was
actually he was in Caprica. Oh,
No, that was
yeah.
The show sucked. So Roger, I've talked about Alex a lot. I don't plan to talk about you a lot because no. I just don't see the point. But we were talking earlier about your last episode. Anyone listen to last episode? We were talking about your rape van. Mm-hmm. How did that go?
How did the raping go?
How many transactions were there, so to speak?
Well, you know, I had a pretty busy weekend. You know, above average raping.
Did you rent a carpet steamer? was that level of repair required?
Let's say there's a need for it. Okay. Actually, I've gotten around to doing it. It's getting a little ripe out there.
I kind of want to put the raping away in a drawer and lock it and never open it again, as I'm sure most do. But I see more of a...
That's what they all say.
Of a, yeah, you know, Dexter.
But in more pleaded tones, more... sure, yeah. More exasperated.
Less casual.
And yeah, yeah. It's not so anyway. It's not written on fine letterhead and then sealed with wax. It's more screaming and crying. And I took that too far.
Wow.
Let's change the subject. Speaking of what we were just talking about, and not changing the subject, so I was in Austin seeing family this weekend, and then I was editing the podcast and I hear Roger say, yeah, we're taking the van up to Austin. And I was like, oh, Roger's in Austin too. We're in Austin together. Oh, okay. Yeah. Email Roger. Hey, what are you doing in Austin? He's like, what? Nothing. Why? What do you ask? I don't send.
Yeah.
Like I read it that way at least. I'm like, fine, bro. I'm not going to horn in on your Austin activities. I'm just curious, jerk.
Why?
Who wants to know?
We're not here having any fun.
Well, he was up to his eyebrows and bodies.
He was up to his eyebrows and mostly raped bodies. No. So, God, you get him to move that couch, and then they're tired, and then they can't fight. And you kill him and make a skin suit.
No.
Was she a big, fat person?
Oh, God, stop it.
I want to do the entire episode. There's two ways I want to do the entire episode. In that voice, and then for those of you that don't have the uncut, this is why you need to get the uncut show in the vault, is we do things like invent the Justin Bebot.
Yeah. No holds barred.
Who sounds like this?
Whoa.
Bebot! Exterminate! So, if you want to hear more from Justin Bebot, then don't. Why would you? That's a horrible idea. That's a terrible idea.
It's a great name, though.
With we were actually. Where's my pen? I'm very disheveled. We were talking about how it would be easier to make fun of Justin Bebot or the actual Justin Bieber as a person. I understand.
To be fair, we don't know that he's not some sort of music industry created.
I think he is. Android. I believe sort he of a grown, a... more grown than built. Probably, sure. He seems fleshy.
I think they have different stages.
Though I believe his hair is not, it seems more like feathers. It's a plumage. Plumage more so than human hair.
Sure, it's a mutation.
I think they got that wrong.
I think it's part of a heat dispensing cooling system. Oh, really.
It's like a thermal, device. Okay, heat sink. I'm good with that. We were saying that it would be easier to make fun of him if we knew what any of his songs sounded like.
And alas, Josh isn't here.
Right.
Do you really think? The thing that I wonder is Bieber. Oh, yes, my pen is in my pocket. Bieber, there is a certain line where it's like, no, I've never heard a K-E $HA song way through.
Right.
But I do know what one of her songs sounds like just through general media exposure. I think Bieber actually
falls. That's unfortunate, actually.
Well, but it falls under that radar where it's like, there is a level where a grown adult with free will never has to hear Justin Bieber.
Well, it's easy. You are not a girl under the age of 12.
Or a parent of one.
Or a lesbian.
Right. Or, okay. Or a parent of one. Sure. A lesbian.
A parent of a lesbian.
Parents of lesbians are the most into Justin Bieber.
Sure.
Have you ever seen that Tumblr lesbians that look like Justin Bieber?
Oh, brilliant.
On Tumblr? That's really
good stuff.
That's funny to make fun of people how they look. With that, we're going to take a short
break. And alas, Eli isn't here.
Everyone shut up. We're taking a break. Hijinks and Sue Podcast, episode 79. Joel Watson from hijinksandsue.com with me. This time, I've got Alex Flores and Roger Court. We're going to give Josh a call and see if we can say happy birthday to him. And then later in the show, I believe, I haven't screened them, so I have no idea what's going to happen. I believe we're going to play your birthday wishes to Josh from calling our hotline 203-6-FANCY-B. So the one thing I do want to mention, that song you just heard, again, all of our theme song, all of our interstitial music is by my friend Tom Brislin, tombrislin.com, Brislin with an S, and then a B, and like a B-R-I, and an S, and an L-I-N, in that order, tombrislin.com. He and his band Spiraling made most of that music, if not all of it. I believe all of it at this point. Tom is venturing on his own experiment, kind of like I did when taking my comic full-time. He is going to be making his own new album independently, releasing it independently, and then touring to support it all independently, sort of a one-man show. I do want you to support him, guys. He's a fantastic musician. He's one of my favorites. I've actually been listening to him since my wife and I's very first date in 1999. We went to see They Might Be Giants and Spiraling. Then they were called You Were Spiraling, opened for them. And we listened to them for like a good 5 years before I met Tom in person. And we became friends. And that was one of those things where, you know, you have your own personal rock stars that, like, no one knows. Like, they're not on MTV. But to you, there you listen to them as much as you listen to, like, you know, Alice in Chains at the time.
Absolutely.
Whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
So that was one of my, Spiraling was one of those for me, and absolutely one of my favorite bands of all time. And then when we finally started to be friends, it was very bizarre. It was very, very much like getting to know someone that produces the content that you
consume.
Enjoy, consume. Yeah, it was very weird. Anyway, so that story has no point. But I do suggest that you go to spiraling.net and purchase their most recent two albums, Transmitter and Time Travel Made Easy. Excellent, excellent records. If you like any of the music, the sounds that you hear in the show, check that out. But I have posted a link on today's comic. Let's see. I want to say it's youtube.com/TomBrislinMusic. Tom has put together sort of a pamplemousse-esque video song, which is a cover of the 1983, I think, Joe Jackson song Steppin' Out. And it's sort of a more synthy, poppy vibe to it. It's fantastic.
It's fun. It's great.
You must go check it out. It's a good time. And I think everyone kind of likes to see that behind the scenes, each part being recorded separately, right, and all that stuff. Like, you don't realize sometimes that you're listening to like four keyboards at the same time. And you mm-hmm. see all that in this video. I think it's fantastic. So youtube.com/TomBrislinMusic. If I'm wrong in that URL, I'll fix it in post and put a link in the show notes. But please, yeah, check that out. Let's go try and give this asshole a call.
Let's reach out and touch someone.
Fucking godless sodomite Josh Jeffcoat. Let's see what happens.
That's what he's looking under his contact.
That's
godless
what it's
sodomite.
Under.
Godless,
yeah.
Sodomite. Josh Jeffcoat.
He's probably fucking right now.
Balls deep.
I'm sure he has no idea who it is either. It's probably just a pillow. He has no idea.
Somebody's rectum is vibrating right now.
Hey, this is Josh. You can't come to the phone right now. Leave me a message.
Happy birthday, you ridiculous son of a bitch. We tried to call you on the podcast. You didn't answer. If you get this and you call us back in the next, oh, I don't know, hour, maybe we'll say hi on the podcast. I don't know. But some of the fancy bastards have recorded special birthday wishes for you, and they'll be on this episode. So wherever you are, whoever you're in, happy birthday.
We love you, Josh.
Hey, hole.
No, dick. Okay.
Like I love a boil.
Like I need a hole in the head. I need this, Josh. In my life. Let's see. That is a character I'm working on. I call him Jewy McJew.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Jewy McJewerson.
Uses that juggle.
He does use the juggle. No one's going to know what that means because we did that off air.
I'm dropping those links in for you.
Premium content.
It's like you're hyperlinking to the uncut show.
That's amazing.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So meta.
You were talking about, Roger, your irrational love of the automobile, which
forbidden
got us...
Forbidden love.
It's forbidden in Texas. Yeah. No, it's not because it's not a truck.
Right.
First of all, you drive a foreign car, which is basically a crime.
I have a truck, so that makes it okay.
Why do you have six cars? What's wrong with you?
You probably drive the most un-American automobile you could get.
I don't understand.
Right now, I don't know.
Well, he drives a car that was specifically created to appease the Führer.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't mean like, you know, all BMWs. I mean the model that you, they keep that spirit.
That specific
what
one.
Is it, a C3? Yeah. Is that what you said? They keep, what is it called? A BMW what?
Oh, it's a 3 Series. It's
3 Series.
335i.
Okay. So whatever that is. Yeah,
what does that number represent?
It's the percentage of actual Hitler flesh that's
right.
present
that
is,
well, there's a,
during
there's a
the production.
Big, like, 40-foot tall portrait of Hitler, like they used to have, like, on the side of a building,
like
for
Vigo
Saddam or whatever.
From Ghostbusters
Yes. And it's looking down on the assembly line. And they look at him and say, would he be happy with this car? And then they make changes until he's happy.
Yeah.
Until his portrait smiles.
It smiles a little bit. It's freaky. It's freaky. He is trapped in there. And let's hope.
So explain yourself.
God rest his soul. Let's hope he stays there. But yes, but you love cars. You have too many of them.
This is all true.
I don't understand why anyone would do that. So I do. I want to know a little bit about this, but not too much.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that interested.
Well, it's just a thing I've always, really loved since I was a kid. I mean, growing up watching, Knight Rider and...
Mm.
For God's sake, Street Hawk and all those
other.
So you
didn't watch like Airwolf and buy a bunch of helicopters.
Well, I'm not there. I don't have the means to buy my own Airwolf just yet.
Or a lot of night boat.
His Honor.
A boat.
There's always a fjord.
His Honor, Roger, over here was telling me before the show that he was attempting to interface with his automobile via laptop and download the kit mod for it.
Now they
that would be the ultimate goal.
You hack your car, is what you're saying.
Essentially,
you hacksaws your car.
Yeah, car modding these days is pretty much entirely a geek's domain. I mean, it's
pretty strange. Do you have an Android app for making fun things happen to your car?
Not yet, but I was actually thinking about kind of solving that problem myself if I ever get
like
enough
time. There isn't a good one, so you need to make one.
Yeah, that kind of thing. At least not for my car specifically, but
that's
maybe
something that I bet you would get some support from.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, I know there's like tuning apps for iPhones, but I think they're typically tied to a piece of hardware. Like, you got to buy a certain harness that talks to it over Bluetooth. Is that always what you have to do, or is there...
It is right now, because there's no sort of universal hardware. I mean, I've got stuff in my car, because there's no way to just plug in, like, a USB plug or a...
Right.
Why not?
Why not?
Fix that.
I haven't enough time to make one.
Oh,
do
okay.
it.
Okay, good.
But no, I mean, it's basically...
So what can you do? Can you tell it, like, you think I'm going this fast, but I'm not, but you'll think I am, so you'll do this kind of thing?
That's almost exactly how it works. There's basically... Okay.
You're tricking your car into doing the wrong thing.
If and or... You're doing this in basic,
you,
right?
Yeah, oh, no.
Pascal?
Yeah. COBOL. No, it's...
Lords of COBOL?
Yeah. There's a little box that sits in between the car's computer and all the stuff that computer talks to.
Right.
And that box basically lies to the computer. It says, you know, you're really giving me this much boost for my turbos, but
I don't think I want more.
That sounds familiar. It's like I'm really supposed to be getting premium channels, but it's cool.
Right. That's right. You're basically getting free cable in your car.
I'm stealing horsepower is what it is.
So when your car explodes on the freeway, it will be because you tricked it into doing the wrong thing.
A zero instead of a one, yeah.
Okay, that's a bad idea, and I don't support that for people that don't want to die. But, I mean, whatever.
Yeah,
again, you've got six cars, so your cars are certainly expendable. Right. The BMW explodes, you have that nice van.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I mean, that's why I left it at home. I don't want to,
Well, yeah,
put a whole lot of miles.
You don't drive it to work. It's more of a weekend cruiser. It's a show off kind of.
The weather's
nice. We're talking about the van, right?
Yeah, the van. I want you to see me in the van. I take the BMW to and from work. I take it through the off roading.
You
take it to IKEA.
Yeah, IKEA, Costco, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But you don't want to get that van. 150,000 miles. It's still a young van, so you don't want to get too many miles.
Just breaking it in.
Yeah, just easing her in there.
Go west, young van.
I wish that would have been the title of the last episode. Jesus, god damn it. Now I hate everything.
Well, I bet you if we all hop into his BMW, he could tell the computer to...
Time travel us back.
Exactly at 88,
yeah, then...
No, he could tell the computer
only back
that,
to the
like,
Second World War, though. I can't change the date.
He can tell the computer. Well, it knows it's home.
Sure.
At some point in time, all BMWs
converge on one point in history in 1944.
Yeah, they're all going to come back.
And they become sentient tanks.
Oh, man.
For the Fuhrer, obviously. There is a future timeline somewhere where American forces are storming Normandy, and all of a sudden all these BMW 3 Series just headlights come over the hill.
That is so frightening.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, Bavarian Motor Works did make the best German tanks.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody
kinda
knows that.
Up. Kind of fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. 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 They made planes, too. That was their thing. That's why the logos are propeller.
Originally, yeah. But you're thinking of a Mercedes-Benz.
No. The logo of a BMW.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look like it, but it's a spinning propeller.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of stupid things and wars and whatnot, why are all the flags at half-mast today? Did you notice this?
For all the single people. Valentine's Day.
For all the single ladies. All the single ladies.
Sure.
Put your flags down.
That's probably really disrespectful.
I'm sure it is.
Actually happened.
I'm sure something horrible happened.
All the single men who killed themselves last night.
Put your flags down. Why? Yeah, you don't know?
No, I
assumed you were tuned into the news.
I didn't.
I can tell you it's not car related.
Okay.
Or else I would have known about it.
It is not Knight Industries 2000 related.
Did your BMW come with a 16-wheeler that you could just pull into the highway?
I've told you I have a lot of cars.
I thought we said that's what the van was.
That's what the van. Oh.
That was last week.
That was last week.
Let's go ahead and do more bits from last week. So.
Very self-referential.
And then we were talking, you were mentioning then that you've been, as a car enthusiast, something I know essentially nothing of. I go for like cup holders. Like I'm a big cup holder guy. So I get in the car And I'm like, what color is it? And for, you know, I can see that with my eyes. Right. So that's first question. We're done. You know, I know if I like it or not. Is it not white? Okay, then we're in pretty good shape. Or not beige, okay. Not gold. You know, we're in pretty good shape. Mm. And then I count the cup holders. I want to get past my first hand. Right. That's a big criteria. If I'm five, fuck no. Next car.
You basically want a ratio about two per person, I think, is ideal for cup holders.
Well, two cup holders, sure, but then multi-purpose cubbies, that's right. A whole different category. So we want another two, three, four of those.
Right.
And then this time, the last car I bought, it's got the flip-down dash and the flip-up dash box on top of it.
Mm. Love I love box. Those. That's
double
so
dash.
Nice. Yeah, it's like a double. It's got double like, it's like two Muppet mouths that eat your stuff. So yeah, I definitely, I was sold on that.
One's for your insurance.
And then I said, what kind of car is it?
One's for the gun.
I was filling out the paperwork, and I was like, and it's what is it, a Toyota? It's a Honda. It's a Honda. Excellent. Okay, good. I do like the storage inside. So so we're good. And how much money will it be? Oh, okay, excellent. Well, that's good. I'm glad I'm signing. And again, I'm miming signing a piece of paper. No one can see that but you.
But we can appreciate that.
Sure, why not? You were talking about enjoying or not. I didn't catch the actual opinion. The new Americanized Top Gear.
The American Top Gear, yeah.
And I think most geeks know that Top Gear is the famous British show about surly men that get in cars, drive them very fast, and then complain about them or say they're awesome, basically.
Right, or do and ridiculous then challenges yeah. with...
And then celebrities come on and do them as well, and then whatever. I found it very odd that when that was starting to really rise in popularity, that a lot of people... Everyone that ever mentioned it was saying, you have to watch it. I was like, I don't care about cars. They're like, that's not the point. Right. You have to watch it. And I think it's kind of that that sort of Iron Chef. Like, I don't care about cooking, but you love Iron Chef. You know?
Sure.
At its heart, it's a buddy comedy. It's about the three guys and the stuff they do. And it just happens to be that all that they do revolves around cars. I mean, they come up with ridiculous...
It's almost like a proto-reality show where... It's not. I don't think they ever intended for there to be antics between the quote unquote characters.
It's definitely evolved
because it was a car show. Mm-hmm. But like I've actually seen one episode all the way through of the British version, and they gave them three broken in different ways off road vehicles, and then put them in the rainforest.
Right.
And they almost all died over and over.
Is this when they were trying to go down the Amazon?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yeah. They were in Bolivia.
One of them had like a Jeep with no brakes. Yes. Not bad brakes. None.
Yeah, that was
so. It was like I can slow down gradually, or I can crash into shit. One of them had, I think, like a pretty good Land Rover with some miscellaneous problem, and then the other one like couldn't turn left or something. I don't remember. But they drop them off in the fucking rainforest, and then at one point they're driving on one of those scary ass fucking roads,
death roads,
that's less than a car length wide, and then some guy in a truck with like 40 people and 90 chickens, just comes by screaming past them, and one of the guys I think decided like this, I'll die doing this. I think it was the brakeless guy opted out of that. But the rest of them,
that might have been James May. Maybe. They would give him the car without brakes.
Okay, so they brought this show to America, what, like a season ago?
It's been on for one season, yeah. They just wrapped up their season.
The early scoffing about it was revolved around, like, you can't do this without these three guys that did it originally, so just stop it. But you've seen it? Have you watched it all season?
I've watched every episode, yeah.
What do you think? Well, if you watched all of them, then you either like it as much as I like Smallville, or you actually like it, so...
No, I think it started off a little shaky, but I mean, this is going to be blasphemous for a lot of car people out there, but I'll say the last episode they did, their Alaska special, which is where they all bought, they were trying to find the toughest American truck, and so they each bought an American
truck. I think everyone
truck.
Knows they don't have cars in Alaska.
Right, and so they...
So much as moose.
And so they...
And meese.
Snow machines. We know from our future president that they are called snow machines, not snowmobiles.
Snowbots. So they, you know, they drove them through Alaska to try and find out which truck was the best, the toughest, or whatever. And to me, I'm gonna say that episode, that special, is better. Better than any.
We're gonna go now in the field, Roger, with today's blasphemy report. Roger, how's it going out there?
Oh, that's right. The Alaska special of the American Top Gear is better than any episode of the British one so far this season.
No!
There, I said it.
Fuck!
You heard it here first, folks. A fatwa being put on the head of Roger Court.
Egads.
A call for his death, much like Salman Rushdie before him. He will be sought after and murdered for his statements. Man, oh man, that is bold stuff. And I'm not even familiar with the show that much, other than I know what it means to the car geeks that enjoy it. What was so great about it? Did they run over and murder Sarah Palin? Was that part of it?
Please.
It might be in the outtakes, the uncut version, you know. But no, I didn't see it happen. I'm sorry. I wish.
Damn it. Oh, looks like my legs have been cut off at the knees. You betcha. It's a miracle.
No, it's just the guys are finally starting to hit their stride. The American host. I mean, you really kind of start to wish you were there with.
Well,
them.
It's I can imagine it's a lot. They're big shoes to fill.
Yeah,
because it took all of what 16 seasons or something.
British seasons, yeah. Metric seasons, which are
right, which are a little
metric seasons. Yeah, I mean, they convert weird.
They're about 12 American seasons, but in Britannia, it's like 16, 17.
Yeah, probably you know the better part of 8 or 9 years sure. that these guys have had to form their
and they have their they've bond. Established it and they're like.
See,
you know.
And everyone keeps telling me, "Oh, you've got to watch the one where they try to destroy the truck or something." Like, there's one where
which one is that? There's like
again, I don't know, you know. But no, it's
I mean,
like,
they
it's
do
like,
that like in every other episode.
Yeah, it's like, it's like, hello, our only goal this episode is to destroy this truck by any means necessary. And it's like then that they do that for an hour, and it just doesn't seem like it doesn't seem. It seems like MythBusters minus the science. It's just right. the explosion.
Yeah, there's no science whatsoever. It's just it's brute force. It's pretty good. And badass cars.
So they just had, they found their chemistry.
Yeah,
and
they
their
did. And then,
car mystery. I don't know. Sorry. About that. I don't think we can recover from that one.
Stop me dead in my tracks.
Oh, God. Let's just go to a break because Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do. Chinks and Soup Podcast, episode 79. Audience?
All right, guys, let's keep it going.
Yeah,
all
come
right,
on.
Let's go.
Let's
hey,
go. Keep,
hey,
keep the energy. In.
Oh, man. Bastards. Hey. Yeah.
I will give them points for being incredibly synchronized.
Wow, that one guy, that leader is really...
No, I feel like it's the guy running the applause sign. And there's a conductor that's giving him sort of a...
Some sort of gibbon. What was...
was definitely there's a yawp. There was a yawp to it that I appreciated. We were going to talk real quick about the dissolution of the Wizard magazine.
Yeah, that's out of left field.
That would be Wizard magazine, not The Wizard.
Then I'm not interested. I thought this was a Harry Potter thing.
Wizard fancy.
Annie, our favorite magazine.
I thought this was one of those magazines where like the pictures move and
Mr. Wizard Weekly.
No, like from Harry Potter. Never mind. Something you'd buy on Diagon Alley. Wizard magazine,
longest running magazine about the movie The Wizard.
California.
It was the Nintendo Power sister publication.
That's right.
Actually, Nintendo Power was the magazine about the movie Wizard.
Essentially.
It was a 2-hour advertisement for all things Nintendo.
For the Power Glove.
That essentially didn't even have a plot.
No, not at all. It had also, Fred Savage, though.
I also like how there
the
was
plot
a...
was I needed Super Mario Brothers 3. That's
yeah,
the
that's what I took
my
away
favorite
from
part
that
of this
movie.
My favorite part of that movie is, other than the best parts, like the Power Glove and whatnot,
sure.
is when you get older and realize... How does Fred Savage know goddamn much about Super Mario 3 when it's debuting at this exact moment? He's like, oh, chick, he's got the magic flute that lets him warp to a different level. I'm like, how do you know that?
No, that took me like 6 years to figure
Come
out.
Come on, dude,
no,
there's no
true.
Way. And you can't even find those. They're impossible to find. How does this kid, needs to get a subscription to Nintendo Power or an older brother that knows before he can find the fucking magic whistle.
Maybe he read it in Wizard Comics Magazine.
I didn't want to talk about that anymore. Wizard Magazine, Wizard World is the company that runs that. They also do a lot of the comic conventions that I well, could go to. Their newest show is Austin Comic Con in Austin, Texas, which I did last year and I'm doing again this year. And I really enjoyed it, but I think it's because there's not a lot going on in Austin Comic Con wise. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, no, it's a dead city. There's
crazy beard wise,
really no
and
reason to go there. Ever.
Not washing wise,
transvestite mayor candidate wise.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Homeless guy wise. Yeah.
When is that?
Silly hat wise. Was it? I think it was November this year. So I guess November last year. But they do a con in pretty much every major city. Some of them are really great. Some of them not so great. Their deal is that I think a decade ago they pissed off Marvel and DC, so they don't come to any Wizard show. And so Wizard shows are typically 50% 60s and 70s TV stars and then 50% guys like me. Well, like 30% guys like me and then like another 25% of vendors. I have a comic shop, come buy all this shit. I have a toy shop, come buy all this shit, that kind of thing. So for a fan, it's actually pretty cool. Like at Austin Comic Con, like Ernie Hudson was there. Sulu was there. Doug Jones
Hello.
Was there.
Hello.
Burt Ward was there for some reason. All kinds of stuff going on. And then they'll occasionally have somebody who is in like a 3-episode arc of like new Battlestar, like Kat from Battlestar.
Oh, yeah.
Just nobody at her table. And
I felt bad for her when I saw her.
It's really sad. But anyway, so they do that. And then they also ran this Wizard magazine, which when I was a kid, pre-internet, it was like the only way to find out about like Spider-Man news.
That was the go-to guide for all things in comic books. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you essentially had no access to information that wasn't specifically printed and that you purchased. So I would go, like my mom would go to the store or whatever. I would park my ass on the magazine aisle and read a Game Pro, a Wizard, like 3 comic books and
Red Book,
Good Housekeeping. I would look for boobies in Harper's Bazaar. There's usually about one per issue.
Yeah.
Not even one set.
A single
like
boob.
One per. Yeah.
Side boob, maybe.
There's some side boob, like a half areola going on. Really? So, yeah.
To draw it
good stuff. You just store that mentally.
You don't want to give
it
all away.
No.
So, on half, I've got a little Spider-Man on this side, little half boob on the other side, and then, I should work it when I get home. But, I think that deserves. Yup. Okay. Yup. Anyway, but Wizard was it served a very important purpose that became instantly obsolete with the internet, I think.
It's
almost
true.
Like the first day of the internet. It was like who invented it? Like Al Gore,
Step one, send my first email. Step two, put up.
I think we're going to. Let me, electronic mail, excellent. Now, to make Wizard magazine obsolete, and
click.
Done. Click. Send. Yeah, and then it's
there
over.
You go.
I remember the first time I realized I didn't need Wizard anymore was around
puberty.
2000. It was before the first Spider-Man movie, and there was a movie. There was a website called SpidermanHype.com, which later had to change its name to SuperheroHype.com. And they became like the go-to destination for superhero movie news. Right. And I was like, I think I only would have gone to Wizard for that at this point.
Well, that was one of my favorite features of Wizard. They had this reoccurring section where they said, if we could cast it.
That was the page I read every time.
Man, right? That was so great.
When I was in like 4th or 5th grade, they said Bruce Willis should play Wolverine. And I was like, it's over. You're right. When's it going to happen?
They were all so spot on.
When is it going to happen? There was a lot of them that would be like soap guys that just happened to look incredibly like.
Right. Yeah.
And then the funny fucking thing is now you find out that like half, every time they kind of reimagine a comic book and start over, they model it after
somebody out there. Yeah.
Real life celebrity.
They're angling for...
That's bizarre. That's kind of just the snake eating its own head at this point. But yes, when you were a kid and there was no chance of there being a real live action X-Men movie, you were like,
that was
oh
the
my
best.
God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also liked that page, and I liked the feature where people would send in their own action figure mods.
Oh yeah, and that spun off to Toy Fair, that's my question is Toy Fair going under too?
Is it a subsidiary?
Yeah, they're a sister pub to they're under the Wizard Entertainment umbrella.
Know. No idea.
Yeah, they must. I actually worked with a guy a long time ago whose best friend was the like the executive editor of Toy Fair.
But
and
this was like way before people had access to, first of all, the really detailed action figures to start with.
Right.
And then like the high-tech modeling compounds and shit you can order off the internet.
Sure. What can to you make do them with look hot fantastic. Glue and,
right. Yeah. So they you kind of would judge them like, oh man, for all of this looking really shitty, that's the best one. Like that guy's looks the least shitty and I want that action figure. There would just be like a repaint, like, okay, I took Archangel and I made him look like the newer version of Archangel or something. Yeah. And or I gave him cool wings as opposed to like these two surfboards they have on his back or whatever. And then there would be like there would be a lot of them that's like, I did Spider-Man in orange paint. Now he's orange Spider-Man. Like,
check him out. Yeah.
I tied some thread to his arm. And he's making webs. All right. The end. Polaroid. Submit. Oh, and the costume contest page, too. Mm-hmm. Again, all stuff that eventually turns into fetish websites.
Yeah.
Was there'd be somebody.
That was the internet on paper.
Yeah, really.
It was.
Yeah.
And that became the model. It's like they looked at Wizard magazine and went, we can do. Yeah, Al Gore was like, yeah. I really like this magazine.
What if this was on our computers?
We came first up of all, with the web.
Need, first of all, we need computers. And he's thinking, so I'll invent those. How does Spider-Man get around? Webs. Hang on. Let they me call my go. Good friend. The internet. Wait, no. Bill Gates and Steve Wozniak.
Around
Wozniak.
The world. Jeez. I hope it doesn't ever go away.
I wonder. He says, imagine if he's just talking to Tipper one night. Like she's like, oh God, Bill, go God, Al. Al, go to bed. He's like, Tipper, what if Spider-Man could have his webs all over the world, a worldwide web, and he could abbreviate it too, with hypertext transfer protocol ... What? I gotta write this down. Guys, I have this awesome idea for Spider-Man. And then just spitballs from there, just snowballs from there. Like, 2 years later, there's an internet. First email sent. And he's
thank
like,
you, Spider-Man.
I did it. Good job, Al.
I still see a cartoon horse.
Because nobody, nobody else tells him. So anyway, that is weird. I really kind of never put that together, that you basically owe
the internet
geek culture on the internet to Wizard,
and
they
now
sort of
it's dead.
It happens, you know. It happens. First of all, I don't know about their magazine, but convention wise, they have a stigma of being poorly managed.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why their Dallas show shut down. They basically drove every artist out of that show. But it could be different people managing each show. I don't know. Austin was great. So I don't know. Maybe they learned a lot in the last 5-6 years. Whatever. But I don't know. Maybe it's bad management, or maybe it's just the fact that it's completely unnecessary. We were saying before that half the magazine was a price guide, which is something you would never need in print, ever.
Right. Yeah,
and no one's out there going through their comic book collection going, hope this just went up from being worth less than what I paid for it to being worth what I paid for it.
Woohoo!
Sell.
Yeah, there's some guy. I'm sure there's apps now for like stock ticket comic prices. Right. Oh, I'm holding on to Wolverine number 50 for one more year. Fucking bullshit. So they
what an idiot.
They created something that got away from them, I guess, online, and then they really just got usurped by just random nerds doing something they kind of invented. But like, I still have a few Wizards in my comic book box. Like one of them was announcing Roger Corman's Fantastic Four movie that was never released, yeah. And which I have a bootleg of. But I remember staring at like the one page spread of images of that movie over and over and over, hours just
scrutinizing
like,
it. And
go
just
get
like,
it back oh. out. Oh, what's Thing's costume look like? Get it back out. You know, and I don't think there were any modern, not even close. Maybe the last time it came close to touching on modern superhero adaptations might have been like Mutant X or something on like UPN or whatever the fuck that came on. You know, that was a long ass time ago.
That was a long time ago. I forgot about that.
But I mean, they weren't make. Oh, the Captain America movie was probably something I saw in Wizard, the very first one.
Yeah,
right.
With
yeah.
the rubber Red Skull mask mm-hmm. and the big latex was such a thing back then. The big latex thick cap suit.
Did that ever look good on any of the superheroes back then?
I feel like in context, it looked good on Batman in the first two Batman movies, but
yeah, I watched 1989 Batman again, and he, you know, shit, I gotta say. Movie's still good.
Yeah.
It still is. It holds up. I think I was surprised. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to watch this and see how bad it is.
The one thing I didn't know is that Michael Keaton was a comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Right.
Well, I'd never seen anything else he had done. I was
already familiar with him.
7 years old when it came out.
I was already familiar with him being Mr. Mom.
Yeah.
And you know.
So apparently that was a really weird casting choice. But then if you look at everything until Christian Bale, they were all really weird
Pretty
casting
weird for
choices.
The time, yeah.
So. God damn it! I watched Batman and Robin, like half.
Why?
Of it.
God,
because it came on TV. I don't know.
I love that
know?
Movie, man.
There are ways to enjoy it.
You really got to see more movies.
there. Again, it's one of the seven movies.
It's not my favorite movie. You know, top five.
Top three. If I'm in a pinch.
Maybe. Right.
Desert Island Collection. Okay, I'd take that before I take, say, Inception, which I haven't seen. But Citizen Kane, Batman Forever, more so that way.
I'll admit I was excited for that movie when it was coming out when I was in the freaking, like, between the 8th and 9th grade.
And see, I was even younger, so I thought it was the best movie ever made.
Like, and when you saw it?
I came out of it cheering. Just
that,
cheering.
That whole logo with the question mark and the bat symbol together, like, gave me the hugest, like
proto boner.
Yeah, pretty much. I was like, oh,
I don't know why
I
love this, but I love it.
Oh, fuck it. So awesome.
Yeah, I
still do.
It was a distillation of what it meant to be like an 11-year-old boy in the 90s. Everything, those two really, Batman Forever, or Batman and Robin and Batman Forever.
Right.
Forever was the next one, right? Yeah, Robin came before Forever.
Other way around.
No, other way around?
Yeah.
Okay, so
Forever was Batman,
Two-Face and the Riddler.
Forever was the first
and then Batman
non-
and Robin.
Tim Burton.
Okay.
Yeah, that was the
Joel
first.
Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, that's when he really just.
That guy.
Nipples.
Lots of cod pieces, just zooming in on butts and cod dicks and just...
Butts and dicks butts tonight and dicks. On ABC.
It's almost like he... It's like you wouldn't... For instance, Bryan Singer is a gay director who makes superhero movies. And at no point does he like dance out in like a mini skirt and go, I'm gay! Like it's just
who
normal,
is he, Ed Wood?
It's just a normal movie. Joel Schumacher's like, guys, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure you know that I like fetish gear, super gay. Dicks is the main thing. Hey, I'll throw in a butt for you guys that like the ladies. Ugh, butt. But come on. But as a kid, you were like, yeah, this works. This is great. He needs, first of all, the third suit. Like, they literally are like, that's it. The city is frozen. We have some arbitrary amount of hours to unthaw these people before they die, which no, they're dead now, but whatever. They're frozen in blocks of ice. Let's go design new suits. Okay, cool. And they go back, they retire to the Batcave. They come out with these all black and then silver accented, and the cod piece basically has silver racing stripes on it, like in metal.
I think you can see the testicles there.
They're accented like neon. Yeah, they're accented like the nipples. And it's just fantastic. And it reminded me later, like, yes, this is everything about being an adolescent in the 90s. The hot pink, the everything.
Well, that knows Batgirl, too.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, but every wall had a green neon light, like, hypercolor shining on it. Like, it's like, Alfred, I'm going to go to the library. And then the library's got like a hot pink
dance
wall.
Club.
Yeah, and there's like some band playing fake instruments up on the shelf.
Yeah. And there's like a clown doing somersaults through the background for no reason. I like how
the
street
corner.
Gangs are like, guys, we're going to go commit some street crimes.
But
does everyone have their knives? Yes. Does everyone have their Day-Glo fluorescent paint only shows up under blacklight? Yes. Have we rigged all of downtown Gotham with blacklights? We have. Let's go have a
to your dirt
Let's go have an illegal dirt bike race. Yeah. I love that you cannot, there isn't a single scene of either of those movies that holds up to even an ounce of scrutiny. You just have to stop.
You just described what I think Josh is actually doing right now.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. He's at all those clubs that Stefan talks about.
He's at
the hottest club in New York.
Boosh.
Boof.
Boof.
Yeah. With 9 O's. I hate it when there's little pieces of SNL that are funny. I really do, because it makes me feel bad for watching it. But anyway, I feel like we were talking about Wizard and
Wizard's
then started
dead.
Talking about Batman.
Amen.
And then before we get into the mail sack and your phone calls, hopefully with birthday wishes for Godless Sodom and Josh Jeffcoat, we did want to briefly mention, you said, Alex, you've been watching Idiot Abroad on the Science Channel.
Hell yes. Mm-hmm. Ricky Gervais,
Carl
Stephen Merchant, and Carl Pilkington.
Yeah. Man, they have made an accidental career, a whole cottage industry out of making fun of this one guy.
Carl. I mean, I'm going to say this right now, but
the most successful podcast ever.
Yeah.
Is just making fun of this guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny because sometimes it reminds me of. Well, wait, that's okay. Well, actually, get things straight. That's the Ricky Gervais Show, which is on HBO, which mm-hmm. is the animated version of their podcast.
Right. Right.
And then there's Idiot Abroad, which is essentially a spinoff. I'm talking about the
lineage of it. Yes. But I'm saying they sat down to record a podcast, and I think he was the engineer.
They
brought him in just to make
fun
of
him. He was a producer. He was like a radio producer, yeah. And they ended up working together.
And then they had so much fun making fun of this dullard that I hope he's rich at least now.
I think so.
I hope they made him rich at least for all the fucking torture they're putting him through.
Sure.
So anyway, he's got this new show, Idiot Abroad, where they basically just put him in the worst parts of foreign countries and let him survive.
Also known as the areas of the modern wonders of the world. That's what they're doing.
They're sending him to see all the modern wonders of the world.
Because they're treated as an experiment.
Because I saw the Taj Mahal episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say, maybe there's something wrong with me, but I kind of agree with Carl on pretty much everything.
Oh, his logic is so flawless sometimes.
Airtight.
Yeah.
In his innocence and his naivety, you know, it's like, you know, when he's
but
fucking
honesty
right.
comes out of it.
Yeah.
It's like just pure childlike honesty.
It's unfiltered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfiltered
it's
stupid.
Brilliant.
And it's that's what America's about, I think. But he
it's not that he's an idiot so much
he's
as
he's not.
He's just, not formally educated.
He has a small worldview,
yeah.
which right. leads him to be extremely practical and not really willing to put up with anything that isn't
he's an intelligent guy.
Immediately recognizable to him, I guess. And he's like, there's one part where he's talking about, he goes to the little custom gazebo shop where they sell everything made out of cow shit and urine.
Right.
And it's like soap and shampoo and toothpaste made out of cow urine. Mm-hmm. And he's looking at the guy like, you're fucking crazy. You put this in your mouth. You put it, you brush your teeth with, they brush your fucking teeth with cow shit and it want me to do it. No, I'm just fucking, why would anyone, why? Yeah. Just why? Why yeah. would? Why would you ever? Why would
it's
anyone?
Like he says what we're all thinking.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It's just, it's very honest and very, it's sort of brutal in it peels off any layer of sort of Hollywood bullshit that there could ever be on about even tolerance. It peels off any layer of just right. tolerance or kind of putting up with something that you think is stupid. And they're like, the guy, you know that the producer, as soon as they cut off the cameras going, Carl, you have to let the guy put the cow shit on your head. You have to. This is the show. This is what we're doing. And so then they come back, and the guy's rubbing cow shit all over his bald head, and he's just as disgusted as any
see,
of us.
You know,
be.
And right. he's being a good sport because at least how they proposed it to him, they're saying, "Look, we're going to send you to these places because Stephen Merchant thinks by you going to these places, you're going to return." With
right.
a broadened mind, you're going to be more willing and accepting of other things, of the
except
cultures.
Except he just thinks you're going to get a bunch of cow shit put on your head, and then we'll all laugh at you.
And he's playing along, though, because he's like, I'll admit, blah, 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 some of these things are cool. Mm-hmm. And the other thing's flat out, this is stupid. And this, like when he went to China, he just had a real huge problem with the way their toilets are.
Oh, he's like, in the floor toilet?
Yeah, yeah, where you just squat.
It's
and he's
hole
like,
in the ground.
And in fact, to the point where he's like scrutinizing the organization of a public toilet. He's like, well, you know, you walk in. He's like, I walk in and there are two guys facing me taking a squat, literally. And he's like, you would think they would put him over here so you don't walk in on people taking a dump.
There,
you
know? But there's no excuse for that. That is simply just guilt by omission of just not finishing building the toilet. There is no reason. There is no, I just agree with him.
Yeah, and right. He's flat out just saying, you know, what the hell?
China, you have all of our money. You make all of our stuff. Finish building all of your toilets.
Yeah, that is something he would say.
Jesus Christ. I mean, and I've never used one. I've never even been presented one in person. I don't think I could. I'm pretty sure I would fall over into my own shit pile. So, and then the other thing that kills me is that I know some of it comes up from space issues and like population density, but like their typical bathroom situation is basically just tile with a drain.
Right.
Yeah. And then you like sit on a stool.
The shower is the bathroom, is the toilet.
It's all one thing.
And you don't bathe in a stream of water or a pool of water. You bathe in a bucket and then like rinse off or something. With a rag, like, and again, I guess maybe they're just conserving resources, and that's where that comes from.
I think it's just a scarcity of resources to begin with. You can't, you know, you don't have it to waste. So
Jesus, I mean, that's there are certain times when, like, watching this show, when you realize even at our worst, how opulent and disgusting it is to be an American.
Yeah,
it's like
if I only had three cars, even like I would still feel
like you'd be like, you know, I really get the the little man. I get where he's coming from. No, just simple things it's like I'm going to take a shit. I really don't want to have to deal with that dirty plunger. I'm going to flush this one four times, you know, just to make sure. Yeah. So I'll go ahead and waste.
I'm going to burn through 3 gallons of water.
Yeah, I'm going to waste about 12 good gallons of drinking water here. probably a family of four could live off that in Uganda for like at least a week or so. So probably more than they get. So I'm going to go ahead and crap in it. And then flush too much of it. Or I'm going to stand. I'm going to let 300 gallons of water pour over my filth because it feels nice. I could get clean in about a minute and a half, but I'll stay in there a good 15, 20
minutes. But goddamn it, I spent so much money at Home Depot on this oscillating
rain head.
You know,
yeah, my rainwater head and also my waterfall. I have a secondary one. You turn on the waterfall when you really want to. God damn it, I swear. And it is it's kind of sick. And I think when you see these kind of shows, again, you watch them like, he's right, these guys, this is fucking gross. And then you wonder, only briefly, because we are all, you know, we're pretty self-absorbed, but you wonder, god damn, what would they think of me like walking to my pantry, which literally, if I was starving, if there was no more food in the world, I think there's enough food in my pantry to last for a year.
Right.
Yeah, probably. You can make it.
Mm-hmm. Probably. So it's kind of disgusting, but you're like, fuck it, you know, whatever. I'm going to Walmart and get a 900 box of fish sticks and for a dollar, you know.
It's like, it's funny in his observation of food, like when he was in China, there are these all these exotic foods, a lot of insect consumption.
Yeah, I seem to focus on that.
And he was like,
we're pretty much the only country other than, you know, the UK doesn't do it so much, but they do it more than we do, that is not focused on eating everything available. I mean, we toss out, we're like, oh, those parts of the animal, blah. I listen, I'm with you. I want to cut through its flesh, through several layers of fat. I want to take out some of its organs and eat them, but not those organs. That's gross. That shit is gross.
What do you think we are?
Ugh. Gah. In the blood. Blug. Oh, ugh. No. If it's in the steak, yes.
Blug.
But by itself, no.
Ugh.
Ugh. And that's kind of, it's so hypocritical. It's insane. Yeah. And that everyone else is like, no, this will keep me alive. This bug. Like I eat these. Why do we eat these beetles? To not die. Is the reason, because it's all we have.
Most recent episode, he went to Mexico and to go to a Chichen Itza, and he actually, before that, he went and like hung out with an actual Mayan family, or at least descended from the real Mayans. And there was
be getting ready at this point.
That's true.
They're selling off all their stuff. Yeah, yeah, they had all those vendors out there getting rid of all their rocks and pottery. But
it's a good rock.
Every time somebody buys something, they're like, fucking white people.
They had to shake.
They have no idea. Oh, enjoy the pottery. for 9 months. Enjoy it. No,
you're
not.
Our ride's coming. Yeah. They had to shake down a hornet's nest to get out the larva, which they used in a some sort of taco that they made.
Larva taco.
Yeah. And he was like, why do we have to do this? Is this really necessary? and then when he ate the taco, he was like, it's like all chilies. And he's like, and it's too hot to eat, so what's the point of putting the larva in there if you can't even taste them? He's like, I could really do without the larva.
Right.
Yeah.
Everything about that's correct. Oh, the whole world's so backwards. It takes this idiot savant genius.
He's like the preeminent philosopher.
Yeah, he just cuts through the bullshit
of modern times.
You realize that it'd be like 100 years. There's gonna be little golden statues of Carl Pilkington, and people are gonna just be studying his
perfect
wisdom.
Sphere.
Yeah, it's fucking bald head.
I'm gonna start calling him the sphere of influence.
We're going to take a short break. Come back and talk about. We're gonna take your calls and your questions from the twit sack and the hotline, and that'll be the end of our show. You know, I bet Josh isn't gonna call. Cocksucker. Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
That's not an insult.
Literally. It's just
state of fact.
State of fact. Okay. Hi, Jinx and Zoo Podcast, episode 79. That's my friend Tom. That's his music. You should go get it. TomBrislin.com, Sprawling.net. Speaking of things that I want you to know about, I do want you to check out Infinistorm.com/hijinks. I actually had I had a comic this week that got a few high profile retweets and started to bring my server down just from sheer volume of requests.
Wow.
And sexy. Got on the horn with Infinistorm. My virtual private server hosting provider, and we had that shit knocked out and back up in like 6 minutes. It never even went down. It was down for me, oddly enough, because I feel like the internet is different in different parts of the country for some reason. I don't know why, but everyone else was saying it was up. It was down for some people, and it was down for me. But we had the whole thing cleared up and eradicated and fixed and back up and running and better than before. In like 6 minutes. And that's the kind of service those guys give. So please check out Infinistorm.com. Go to Infinistorm.com/hijinks for a special deal on virtual private server hosting. This is basically, look, you outgrow your dream host and your fuckface host and your fucking shithole host and like host gopher and every kind of little cutesy kitten host or whatever. And you need some big boy pants for your server. Please check out Infinistorm. The other thing that I want you to remember is to please, 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 please consider donating to support Hijinks and Sue podcast. It's 100% listener supported. There is really no product or advertising or anything that makes this show make any money. So if you do enjoy it and you want to see it continue into the future, please hit the donations button at podcast.hijinksandsue.com or go to vault.hijinksandsue.com and donate there. No matter how you do it, you will get access to the vault. You'll get uncut shows with a good 30, 40 extra minutes. You'll get post shows, typically a good 30, 40 extra minutes for every episode. It basically doubles the amount of podcast you get every week. So if you think that sounds cool, by all means, sign up for a rolling donation subscription starting at $5 a month. More if you feel like it. I would not stop you. I would welcome it, in fact. And we are going to finish out the show with your calls and your questions on the Twit Sack. Let me pull up the Twit Sack here, and I believe this will give me a chance to play our mail sack theme, which I haven't gotten to hear in a long time. I wonder if it's probably on that previous page I was just on. Let's see how unprofessional I can just vamp. Oh, wait, no, is that it? I don't think so. That's a different one. Uh-oh.
Well, Joel, you're absolutely right. You know what I'll do? The internet is different in different parts of the nation.
Hey, it's slightly off Al Gore. Hang on a second. I'll just play this while I try and find the sound effect. It's something for you guys to listen to. No. I can't seem to find it, and it's making me wonder. if it was ever on this or if it was always on my phone. That's a problem.
Mm. I think it's on the
iPad. Oh, hang on. Shut up. There it is. Do you realize how much nicer it would have been just to have that at the ready and and not have to vamp for a good minute and a half while I found it? So, yeah, you guys submit your questions on Twitter at @HEPodcast, and we will occasionally take a look at them. The other thing that I need here is, since Eli's not here, I'll have to work the pew-pew. All right, we didn't do last week, so let's see if there was anything last week that might have built up. Boodle-boo, this guy asked something about something I don't know about. This is interesting. This is from LockCole117, longtime Fancy Bastard, very active in the Fancy Bastard community. We're all in different industries.
One of the fanciest.
Myself in putting stupid things on the internet, Alex in putting less stupid things on the paper, and Roger, I think you make video games. I'm not sure. I think you just buy cars for a living. He asks, how do you communicate with peers in your industry, especially me, since I work through the internet? That's interesting. I'll pose that one to Alex.
Well, Joel.
Don't you got to stop doing the gore. Alex Gore. Alex Gore.
I'm not doing gore. I'm actually doing a cartoon horse. Okay. So that's the only
like,
way.
It sounds like you have a palsy of some kind when you do that voice.
It has been Mr. Head.
A little bit of Mr. Head.
Kind of John Wayne, too.
It is.
It is.
It is. It's like he could ride himself.
Wow.
Whoa.
He could hide behind himself when he's being
like a
shot.
A centaur, John Wayne.
What should I
make? Whoa.
Oh.
Fanfic.
Yeah, it's a t-shirt right there.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of that would be kind of good. Go ahead. Go ahead.
What the
communicating with peers in your given industry.
Like in telepathically?
In this modern age of things that we do. I don't know.
So what, like the preferred avenues
I don't know.
Are,
just pick a thing. Aren't you involved in some sort of group? Aren't you in some artist group
I'm
or something?
I'm a member of several groups. What the hell's the question again?
I mean, okay.
Do they
want to
like,
fifth
medium?
Time.
Yeah, read it again.
How did
Joel?
You start to communicate with peers in your industry? And I'll take that as broad as you
is
want.
Is that like a noob question? Like I just graduated from.
I feel like you're not. I feel like you're not grasping the simplicity of the question.
How did I first start communicating?
Okay, I'll rephrase
with other people.
You
that do the same thing
I
do.
Very combative. How do you,
Joel?
How
do I do it?
Yeah, you work with other professional graphic designers and journalists.
Well, you know,
and,
yeah, sure. You've got different societies and professional groups.
Secret societies.
Yes, there
Skull
are
and
secret,
bones.
Secret handshakes. Secret underwear.
Stone cutters.
We do.
And then, of course, there's other like social.
Everyone knows all journalists are Freemasons. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
It's a given.
Go ahead.
That's it.
That's
I mean,
it.
I remember this is not really
That's
a,
horrible. You
I
did
mean,
horrible at that. Your performance was definitely subpar on that question. I the world of internet online comicking.coms is a weird thing to talk about peers because I feel like there's a lot of people. There's this sort of sliding scale where if you think you have peers, they probably don't like you. If you want to have peers, they probably don't know you.
And if you want to be on Piers Morgan's show.
And if everyone wants to be your peer, you're probably successful. And there's only about five of them. So it's really bizarre. Most of us aren't on any sort of similar playing field, honestly. Traffic typically means nothing. There are people that get five times the traffic I do that don't make a living. There are people that get 100 times the traffic I do that make such a living as to make me sad when I think about it. And there's it's all very individualized. But typically, at least for me, I only even see these people a few times a year at conventions. So. And that is weird. It is very weird to go from a job where you are probably the only person, you're definitely the only person like in your city doing it, and then maybe you're the only person in your state doing it, professionally at least, and then being around like 8 or 9 other guys that do this very weird job and seeing some of the commonalities and strangers. But cons is really the only place for me. And then Roger, you make the video games like at an office with people. So they're all there. I don't mean
it's weird how sort of tight knit the developer community is.
DevNevNev. Yeah, no, and we all know about DevNevNev.
Yeah. Well, I shouldn't have let that cat out of the bag.
No, obviously. There's phone calls being made. Silence him.
No, it's weird because, you know, I haven't been in the industry all that long, you know, 5-6 years. And I could probably name somebody that I know personally, just about every big studio, at least in this country.
Right.
And it's just, you just sort of build this network because people hop around.
Yeah.
Well, you've worked at other studios, freelance too, right? You went and made some other stupid game for some other stupid company, right?
I've only ever worked full time for companies, and then I've done stuff on my own.
I thought you went to California to make that game for the
people and the guys.
Yeah, the thing. what I'm talking about. I'm being very specific.
I did the thing for the game and with the people.
What game was that game called?
Black Ops.
The shooting, Black Ops, sure.
But that was
Black Eyes.
I was
Black Ops Peace.
I was working on that.
The Black Ops piece.
Black OPS.
And we just flew out there to finish.
Are you down with OPS?
Yeah, you know.
PS. You know me, yes.
And no, Roger's right. I mean, when I was in advertising, it's also another very insular, very incestual.
But again, this was the 60s. It was Mad Men. There was incest
there's a lot
going
of,
on.
The incest and alcoholism and the beatings and the picnics and the... No, I mean,
forcibly fingering your wife when she doesn't want it.
Yeah, wasn't his wife.
That's right.
But that happens
too.
That's
why it's not okay.
Yeah, not anymore. But
in the 60s, you could pretty much do whatever you wanted to as long as you were married to her.
You know, as long as you were a white male.
Yeah. What's she going to do?
Nothing much has changed.
Make you a roast? Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's all the same. Well, with that, you know, you just work with different folks, you meet people. Different clients, and it's all just everyone has worked here, there, whatever, and you just kind of move around. And you just amass this network of people that you know.
That happens in comics, but for me personally, because since I'm going for this sort of geek crowd, some of the best contacts I have nothing to do with online comics. Mm-hmm. There comes a certain point where doing a convention is almost more expensive than not doing one, but everything that's ever happened to sort of positively motivate my career has happened after hours at a convention. Like, I go to a convention and then I leave friends with somebody who makes TV. Right. Or I go to a convention and I leave with somebody wanting to do my t-shirts and take that part of my business to where I don't have to handle it anymore. Or I go to a convention and when I get home... I don't know. I leave like somebody wants to do an interview on a big site or something. You know, I don't know. Weird
it's,
shit.
It's
like
safe
that.
To say that for any creative industry, that is pretty much par for the course, as I'm sure it is for most any business. I mean, you have those after hours. You know, hey, let's go get a drink and ha ha ha. Next thing you know, hey, sign the big
that's
deal.
Where stuff happens. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of fucked up, but I think it's true that you sort of just have to put yourself in the right place for good things to maybe happen.
Mm-hmm. You have to be doing good things too.
In this creative, there's that, but I'm thinking like in a creative profession, you kind of have to, I don't want to say tag along, but you do have to,
you have to put yourself out there.
You got to put yourself out there. You have to allow opportunities to present themselves. You can't just stay home and wonder why no one knows about your thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to go to where people give a shit about whatever your thing is, I guess. It's funny. I was at San Diego Comic Con. I was doing a signing at a booth for Quantum Mechanics because I designed a couple of T-shirts for them.
A booth
and boof 90s, and makes me want to cover my face. And then this guy walks over, talks to somebody, and then leaves. And they're like, "Later, Fred," or whatever. And I'm like, "Who's that?" "Oh, he's the president of Sci-Fi Network." It's like, okay, bye. Like, nah, I've only got 50% good things to say to him, so unfortunate. But it's that kind of thing where it's like, had they introduced me, and then something happens, and then, you know, you have a new opportunity.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing that just sort of has kept me going, and I think keeps everybody in this weird sort of, I make something, please pay me for it, industry going.
Here's a question. Have you ever had people resent your connections, or resent the fact that... You know,
resent people's connections, so I'm sure. No, I'm very serious. There's a lot of this that is based on jealousy and frustration because you cannot help it if you are in the same creative industry as someone else, comparing yourself, and maybe me more so than other people, but I might look at something and go, on the surface at least, why do you have this much success?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Why are all of these cool people talking about you when we've been doing this roughly the same amount of time? I don't think your stuff is all that funny, or maybe it's not any funnier than mine.
Yeah, and that happens all the time.
Why? Right? Blah, 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 blah. You know, and you kill yourself doing that. But the thing that's fucked up is you can almost always, if there's anyone that's sort of a overnight or over year success, you know, that you feel like hasn't worked as hard as you, there's also 10,000 others that look at you the same way and go, how did you get your shit going in just 3 years? And I've been doing it for 15 and I have 10 readers,
which is maybe why I find this original question kind of like befuddling. It's like, what
people
are you asking?
Well,
I don't understand. It almost seems like that's a silly question, but no, for somebody like that, they're like, how the hell do you guys, you know, do all this stuff and know all these people and blah, blah, blah.
And for me, it's the same way. I really do. I look at other people and I think like I can trace your success back to a month 3 years ago where you had two high profile write-ups and then a link on this site, and then you made a t-shirt that went super viral, and then your audience quadrupled, and then you just kept making your thing and you had a bigger audience because of it. And you can be jealous of that, or you can realize it's just as likely to happen to you.
Right.
And there's no way to tell. That guy didn't make that happen. It just happened to him.
But he did make it happen.
Well, he made the thing.
You know?
He made the thing that the people liked, whatever it was. You know,
that's
if it was
first
a shirt,
and foremost the most important thing.
Yeah, or if it was like one comic with a joke, and then the joke turns into a meme, and then bam, you know, you're everywhere.
It's like Jesus. I mean, you got to be ready. You just gotta. You never know when he's gonna come.
I thought it was gonna be. I'm of Mesoamerican.
I thought you were
descent,
talking about
so
my cousin.
I think it's Quetzalcoatl that's gonna come. And,
sure.
Again, like a year and 9 months.
Right.
So I don't have much time.
That's true.
So I do know. You know, maybe a couple months before I'll just start getting rid of stuff and living in a tent.
But until then, just keep doing your job as best
you
can.
Yeah, as best you can.
Till the end of the world.
It's a very weird situation, and it's not. I think even when someone just has a regular job and they're like, why did that asshole get the promotion? It's the same thing, except that it's in less clearly defined terms.
And it's all a matter of perspective, too. I mean, incidentally, and I hate to bring this up, but you know, no names will be mentioned. Unfortunately, someone on our staff was let go today. And of course, everyone else is like, well, why did that happen? And of all people and this and
what
that
was her name?
And that. and then so it's like, oh, well.
No, but seriously, what was her name?
Go ahead.
At least tell me what the job was. No, because I can look in the paper.
It was the mayor.
Mayor of Dallas was fired from the cab company.
Yeah.
Phoenix mayor of Dallas.
Sad day.
Oh, there's the title, Phoenix Mayor of Dallas. Okay, go ahead.
But yeah, back to that whole thing. Well, you know, half these people who are asking these questions don't have.
Phoenix mayor.
He's actually writing
it
down.
Yeah. You don't want to forget Phoenix Mayor. Mayor okay, Phoenix Mayor.
You don't want to it's all a matter of perspective, you know. Some
JD.
People know things and some people don't, you know.
And the other thing that's really funny about this industry is let's say before you started your online presence, you were already real life friends with three other people with a bigger online presence than you. On day one, you might have a 30,000 person audience because you're three friends with 100,000 audience.
You're talking about piggybacking?
Yeah, basically.
Linked to your inaugural.
And again, that is how friendship works.
Right.
But that's not something you can manufacture, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, I might work for what I consider, you know, toiling for years to build up a modest audience, whereas there's other people that got one essentially overnight. But you can't begrudge somebody for that. But you want to. But you can't. You know, like my buddy Randy, who does the comic Something Positive, we are friends in real life, but because of comics. But he, out of his own volition, I never asked him, I never mentioned it, put a link on his site to me. It's typically one of my highest refers ever, just because his audience is so big. But in turn, Randy started his comic, and then 2 weeks later, Penny Arcade took like a month-long vacation and said, in our absence, read these comics. And Randy's was one of them.
Right.
It was like less than a month into his comic, and he had like 30,000-40,000 readers after that day.
That's huge.
And so you can't manufacture that shit, and you cannot rightfully be jealous of it. But I guess more to answer this, his actual question, just through meeting Randy at a few conventions and blah blah blah, et cetera, becoming real life friends. It helped my career by us sharing audience. We've shared tables at conventions. We've cross promoted with each other and all that kind of stuff, but it's secondary. This is almost a business of, I guess every business is a business of just making friends and then doing the businessy, the schmoozy shit, I suppose. Next question. This is a quick one we'll do. This is from at Isadro. What do you think of the X-Men First Class teaser trailer?
I'm for it.
Next question.
I'm pro trailer.
I love trailers.
I think if they really were going to do, X-Men in the 60s, they would have to make some concessions. Mm-hmm. For instance, there is no way most of the characters would be the age they are in this movie, right, if they're also permanently 25 to 35 between 2000 and 2010.
But everyone knows, Joel, that mutants age slower than...
Sure. And Emma Frost is fully grown at that time, but which would make her like 90 now. You know, whatever. But I thought it looked pretty fucking cool. I think... I actually dig the costumes because
aesthetic, I thought they nailed.
Yeah, to bring overall. In, I think they need to bring in that 60s vibe, which doesn't mean black leather outfits,
So it almost justifies everything, that weird look, It's like, it's the 60s,
I hope there's a few nods to like longtime X-Men fans. Like, I've got some of the reprints from the first few X-Men, and there's something really... of Uncanny, the Uncanny X-Men, there's something, it's super campy, but it's almost charming about those really early X-Men comics because they were so not Superman at the time. And when Batman was becoming like Bat Dad instead of, the Dark Knight.
Knight. Yeah.
Right. And Superman was still kind of a Boy Scout, and it was very, very campy. The X-Men title was almost like your darker. It wasn't dark, but it was almost more edgy, I guess.
Well, that was the whole thing with Marvel at that time. They made it more realistic. They gave all these people real problems.
Backstories, yeah, I've read my reprints of Amazing Fantasy 15, first appearance of Spider-Man, and of Uncanny X-Men 1 like 100 times because they're still interesting. It's almost like How to Make a Comic Book 101. And I got those when I was like 12. And so I read them over and over thinking like, this is how you do an origin story. Okay, I get it. I'll introduce the villain about 2/3 of the way through. Gotcha. There's a few iconic panels even that just stick out my head. Like, I kind of want them to do that sort of classic X-Men panel with Beast kind of sticking his feet out in the background and Iceman coming around the slide. I guess he's not going to be in this though. Anyway. I liked it.
How much of the continuum is this part of with the previous movies?
It's supposed to be a direct prequel.
Really?
Except it would not continue into that universe. Like, they're not.
So it's like Star Trek.
I guess.
It's Abrams Star Trek, right? In a way.
No, I think it's even more direct than that because they use footage of Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen in the trailer.
That's true. Yeah.
So I feel like it's really is a direct prequel, except they, for instance, Emma Frost is in Wolverine, which is a sequel to X-Men. So Emma Frost can't be in X-Men Origins. So I think it's kind of a half J.J. Abrams Trek, half straight up prequel.
You just got to love that SR-71, though.
No, that was pretty sweet.
That was really cool.
Which it was just a flat out SR-71.
Just a Blackbird.
It wasn't their Blackbird.
Right.
It was a Blackbird.
So the whole thing is that they pretty much saved the world by intervening the whole Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. I mean,
so Magneto is like lifting up freaking,
submarines, nuclear
Russian,
subs.
Nuclear subs.
I like the idea of seeing a young Magneto because I don't necessarily even care about seeing a young Charles Xavier because that kind of destroys my perception of him as a character. But I kind of want to see a young badass Magneto
That's before the fall.
Kind of turning evil and really letting loose with his power. Because Magneto, there was a lot of times in X-Men, or every comic really, where you're like, you're so much more badass than what you're doing right now. And I get it. You can't, you know, Superman can't fly around the world and turn back time every time or it gets boring.
Right.
But Magneto could do some serious shit fucking up. And he didn't always, you know? And so I do want to see him like pick up a helicopter and throw it at somebody or whatever. I feel like in that trailer, does it look like he crushes a guy's wristwatch and that's what breaks his arm?
There was some quick little like
he flips his fingers and the guy's like, ah, my arm. And I'm like, what'd you do? Did you break his Timex?
There's probably going to be a lot of that, which I would hope for when I see it on DVD.
Magneto's power is one of those things that you realized in the second X-Men movie when he noticed the iron filings in the guy's blood and then turned them into a weapon.
Love
that's
that.
Amazing. But you
so
realize
cool.
the potential for his power to be a lot more subtle than just like, I can pick up the car and throw it.
Yeah. Right.
Like there's some crazy
when
shit.
When you really think
do.
About it, it's like metal isn't a lot
everything.
Of things.
Magneto could have shit. A box of sewing needles in his belt and then just fly them at your face until you're dead. You know, like anyway. So I think we all liked it. Next question. I like this question. Johnny Ace asks at Johnny Ace on Twitter. What is the one thing you haven't read, watched, etc., that everyone assumes you have just because you're a geek? For me, until recently, that was Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. People would just come up to me and immediately start referencing Doctor Who as if I spoke that language.
Is Rose somebody in Doctor
yes.
Who? That's like his main one, squeeze, right?
No.
No?
The Doctor always has a companion. Okay. Typically not romantically linked.
I went to a wedding of a good friend, coworker of ours on Sunday, and they wrote their own vows, and they were very geeky vows. And one of the things
like you're
was,
the Rose to my doctor.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Rose is actually on an alternate universe Earth right now with a human clone of that doctor. Or
human cologne?
Human cologne.
Mm. It's my favorite kind.
It's like Drakkar Noir, but it's made with people.
Soylent Noir.
Soylent Noir.
Soylent cologne is cologne. I don't know. Do you have one of those? Do you have one where everyone's just like, obviously you've seen this.
American Beauty. It's not really geeky, but as far as things that people assumed I've seen.
You're such an art guy.
Yeah.
You've never seen American Beauty?
Nope.
I don't even know if it would be good now. No, I mean like 10 years ago.
It's spoiled.
10 years ago it was fantastic. Well, no, it spoils itself in the beginning of the
more
movie.
More than 10 years ago.
The first line of the movie is, my name is so-and-so and I'll be dead in a year. And then he dies at the end. But
and now I don't have
to see it
anymore.
See it. There you go.
No, it's a really good film. Yeah, it's really good. But I wonder if it's only good in context.
I don't doubt it. It's just one of those movies where it's like, I'll get around to it.
I mean, Roger hasn't seen any movies.
Yeah, it's not a fair question for me. It's,
what is the worst one? Like, I recently, sure, Inception's probably a bad one. But is there just a glaring omission in your geek background?
I mean, just start thinking back to movies I should have seen.
How long was it until you saw, like, the Matrix movies?
Well, that was long enough ago where I was still, seeing movies.
You've never seen Milo Notis, have you?
What about, like, the whole Harry Potter franchise?
I haven't seen the last one, at least.
Shut your face. That's not horrible. It's a great movie. Really.
You know,
good.
I like the books better.
See, the books for me was a thing where it's like I ignored for 10 years.
Oh, okay. I've never read the books.
I almost feel like it's
read,
less.
Though. You've never read
that's
books.
That's true. But I listened to them.
I've never read.
He could do that. He has ears that work.
That's true.
I will say this. I feel like it's almost a bad assumption. It's like you haven't read Harry Potter. And it's like saying you haven't read hundreds of hours of reading of books. I mean, there's a lot of fucking pages in that series. One of the books is the size of all of the rest of them, basically.
Yeah.
So it's pretty big fucking series. The audiobooks took me a month of basically every time I sat down to work, I turned them on. Mm-hmm. My wife is reading them on the iPad right now, and she reads, I guess, faster than me. She's
I think all women do.
Well, you know, we've
all women read faster than you.
See, we have the same reading speed. Like, if we both read an article, like, oh, come read this with me. We read it together. We laugh at the same time. And I'm like, oh, I see. So we read the same speed. I think I get distracted while reading and stop more often. But she's plowed through four of the books in the last, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, probably. But yeah, and now we can finally start talking about it. I feel like I have a wife now that I can love and relate to.
See, I married a walking, talking J.K. Rowling encyclopedia, so I feel like I don't really need to read the books.
Sure. You've got a living book.
I just got it right there.
Potterpedia.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is another question from Lot Cole. What's the simplest geeky pleasure you enjoy more than you should, i.e. using a soundbite as a ringtone? Just something where you're like, I love having my, you know, sonic screwdriver pin set or some
is
shit.
Is that
like
really
that.
Geeky?
That's universal, man. Yeah. That's everybody. Everybody. I had a friend in high school. Well, my best friend actually was a girl, and she was super smoking hot. So we never dated or had any sort of like romantic entanglement of any kind.
He didn't see the motion he was doing with his hands,
that's
people. Good.
That's like a lot of dicks and a lot of vaginas.
Or a church.
But, and this people in the steeple, and the penis.
This is the clitoris.
I would go to that church.
There. So, I'm glad no one else could see that. Yeah. It's just for you guys.
Now I know where that is.
But, it did not escape me that my best friend was a smoking hot girl all through high school. And obviously,
at least one part of you was well aware of it,
usually. But there
was
one point.
You would find ways to interact with her where she could only see the top half of your body.
Yeah. I stood behind a puppet stage. Always.
Why are you wearing that blower half of the girl suit?
Always in the puppet
again.
Stage. There was one time, I can't remember who we were talking to, but we were talking to a mutual friend. And I think it was another girl
having a hard time finding
said
your keys.
Shut up.
Really hard time.
Just fuck up. Said something about like, oh, I've never touched myself. And then we both respond, you've never fucking jerked off? And then my friend's like, jerking off's like the best thing there is. And then I was like, oh yeah. Oh fuck yeah. Girls jerking off. Yeah.
Say that again into this recorder.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it was like, that does not answer your question. I think that's good enough.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time. So let's see if anybody took it upon themselves to offer Josh a birthday wish through calling our hotline. You can call any time for any reason. I don't care. And there's not a lot of calls, so it'll probably make it on the next podcast. 203-6-FANCY-B.
1-800. Okay, thanks.
This one's a question.
Leave a message for Bijou.
Shut up, Bijou. Let's see. This one's I think this one's predates. This is from a few episodes ago. Let's see what this is. Nope. That's too long. Sorry. If I look at it, it's like a minute and a half. There's just no way. Whoa.
We run a tight ship here. There's no.
Yeah, no. I mean, obviously, these are all screened.
Sure.
Transcripted.
This is a edited. Guy. No, it's funny because they are transcripted by Google, and so I have to try and guess what they might be about.
You mean it's not spot on?
Let's see. Here we go.
Hi, guys. This is Trekker OC again. I wanted to wish Josh a happy birthday.
Boom.
And instead of asking him how back-to-back Valentine's Day and birthday worked out for him, I thought I didn't.
I believe you answered your question. Yeah, you definitely answered your own question, but I'll go ahead and give you the privilege of playing the rest of your message.
Did ask him for advice on being in a gay chorus, which I am right now.
I will happily field that question.
Yeah. Cool.
We're all experts at that.
Yeah. Very shortly after Josh came out to all of us, we started to learn about all of the super gay things that he was doing behind our backs and what a liar he was. He was involved in the Dallas Turtle Creek Chorus.
Which is like world renowned.
Which I didn't know at all.
Yeah.
For being good, not for...
Within the gay world.
Yeah. It's like gay superstardom. And then invited us all to their Christmas concert. We were so broke we couldn't go, so he wanted us there so bad he bought us all tickets. It was amazing. It was fucking phenomenal, that performance. Were you there by any chance?
No, Josh never invites me to his gay escapades.
This is pre-Alex, actually. This was about probably 2 years before I even met you.
Well, when I first met Josh, he was an awkward, quote-unquote, straight dude.
Yeah,
for about a year.
Yeah.
And then he came out. And then I was like, oh, good.
I remember thinking to myself, man, Josh, I don't know what his deal is, but that guy's never going to get any pussy. I'm serious. I'm like, he's not had a date or a girlfriend.
I mean, he's cool. I like him.
Since I've known him.
But
I think he's doomed.
It is ain't going to happen.
Fucking A, exactly. Yeah. It turned out to be the answer. But that performance was fucking shocking how good it was. There was some campy stuff, and they did some like Christmassy type stuff and like skits and whatnot.
Jazz hands.
They did a lot of jazz handing. Actually, there was a part where they wore gloves and did like a glove choreography thing. But there was one part, and if Josh was here, he could tell you the exact piece of music it was. But they do this like aria where it's in the Meyerson, I think, here in Dallas.
Probably, yeah.
Okay, so there's a stage, there's a pit, there's a regular audience seating. And then there's like four levels of balcony wrapping around it.
Yeah, it's the Meyerson.
They send guys into the balcony to be surround sound.
Hell yeah.
It was fucking awesome. I mean, it was just awesome. An auditory, awesome experience. So I guess my advice to you being in a gay chorus is be awesome at it. I don't know.
I mean, what kind of advice is he looking
do
for?
Do really well.
That's really specific advice. I mean,
I think Josh would have advice. Like, he would tell you who you probably needed to blow.
Practice your arpeggios and who to blow, right? Is that
yeah,
it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Arpeggio blows.
I think my parents had that cross stitch.
Oh, come on now. Roger.
I know it's horrible, Roger. You're fired from the podcast.
Get excited.
Here we go.
About music. About a cappella.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Benners. I was just calling to give you guys some fodder for talking. What do you think it takes to make a good sci-fi series? And conversely, what is it that makes a sci-fi series utter and complete shite? Thanks a lot.
We're just about out of time.
Yeah. Did he say higher than complete shite? What did he say?
No, he said, what do you think makes a sci-fi series shitty versus what makes one great? I think you have to have a really good balance between story arc and self-contained episodes, because every series that tries to go all one direction typically fails to either catch the audience or not do something infuriating at the end. Like Battlestar Unlost.
I was going to say, just read the Ron Moore Bible, BSG Bible, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he had some good ideas, but his ideas were based on his own personal experience of doing Star Trek. And so he was like, I don't think the Star Trek he made was bad. It was some of my favorite. DS9, I loved. But he based most of his do's and don'ts off of don't do anything like I did on Star Trek. And I think it was less because it was dumb and more because it was just done a lot, overdone.
I loved his little comments he'd throw in there, like, criticizing the way that, Star Trek had become known for doing their shows, like, don't do these fucking three shots anymore, where you've got the establishing shot, the tight shot, and the other angle shot.
Right. Yeah.
Cut that out. We're going to do it differently.
This point, though, he might even now say, don't do any more handheld cameras, because
well, he did it, and it's
done to death, And there's like 10 shows that have done that since then. So
I think anyway, if just to follow that convention that he did, which is, okay, I'm going to do something. I'm actually going to acknowledge and be mindful of the things that I don't want to be and just stick to that, So if you don't want to be shit, then make sure that you're not doing shit and be really critical and hold a certain standard.
I feel like I feel like the makers of a sci-fi show in the world today should take a page opposite from the Lost Writer's Handbook and not read good ideas on forums and then make sure you absolutely don't do them, because every possible idea for Lost was on a forum somewhere. Yeah. And so then they did something utterly just bullshit by saying like, oh, can't do that one now. Somebody came up with that idea. No, you know what? Do whatever or just don't read the forums. Maybe have someone else read them and then just give you a general impression of how the audience feels. Like, how are they? Are they lukewarm on this? Do they enjoy that?
Yeah, because ultimately, what are you trying to do? Are you trying to make something to please yourself? Or are you trying to make something to, please everybody?
I think Lost failed on all accounts there.
Yeah,
because if they were just trying to please themselves, they would have had a map on day one.
Right, they would have known where they were going.
Yeah, and they wouldn't have constantly changed gears to try and match with what the internet was reacting to, good or bad. I don't even talk about it anymore. Last question. I feel like this is very personal. Like, and I can almost tell from the Google Translate that this might even be angry. I might have to cut this.
Is this towards Josh?
Yeah. Hang on. Let's see. Let's
is it
see.
A hate mail?
Hey, Josh. I just wanted to wish you a happy 29th birthday and just let you know that you need to call for the hookup all this year because after this, you age out on me, okay? All right. Thanks, and look forward to your call. Bye.
Aww.
This is a Houston number. I'm sure Josh knows who this is by voice because he typically tells me when someone doesn't identify themselves. He ages out.
Ages out.
Wow. So this is going to be someone who doesn't like over 30s.
Ages now. Carousel.
Houston.
Yeah.
Carousel.
I wonder ages if they're... Yeah.
Well,
there's complicated bear math involved here. Yeah, there's definitely
it's not your average math.
No. But with that confusing message that I hope means something to Josh, we are going to end our show. Thank you to my co-host, Alex Flores, DallasObserver.com, Roger Court. I don't understand why you don't have Twitter, but...
You don't have Twitter. No.
What is your problem with Twitter? Why don't you? I have no.
We'll
way
talk
of,
about it in the.
I have no way of talking to you
okay. next week.
If you are
there
signed
are no
up,
other ways to get in touch. With
if you are signed up for the donation subscription and you have access to the vault, you can get the post shows and the uncut version. Then you will hear us talk about the nominations for the 2011 Razzie Awards.
Razzies
on the. That sounded dirty. Coming up on the main stage, it's Razzie.
Razzie, give it up for Razzie.
Not long next till midnight, Razzie. Razzie, we're not the Razzie Awards.
Sister Christian starts playing after that.
Sister Christian, blah, 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 blah. You mowed around.
Bow, bow.
What's your price for flight?
Bow.
I did that on Rock Band at Josh's house. I realized,
you actually did that, like you were singing into the...
Yeah, kind of.
We didn't even playing the game.
No, we weren't. I was just doing it. Yeah. They were playing some other song, and I was like, fuck this, I'm singing Sister Christian. No, it turns out Josh has the keytar now, and there was only like 9 songs that used every instrument and the keytar, so we were very limited in our selection. So we do Sister Christian, and you start to realize most of those 80s songs, you pretty much just know the chorus. And so even reading the lyrics, you're like, really?
What's a sense of discovery?
This is a weird... Is he raping his sister? Is he suggesting she not lose her virginity until, like, tomorrow? Or
he's a priest?
I'm not entirely sure what's going on.
What?
But you will hear us talk about the Razzies and whatever else might come up. And then again, if you get last week's... you can hear Alex's encounters with the babes of sci-fi. And being told by Katie Sackhoff's people to sack off.
Sack off, you hoser.
Wow.
Canadians don't really say that, do they?
Sure, sure they do.
I don't know.
Hey. We're out of here. Bye.